In the mid-1950s, I grew up. I was naive, innocent, dumb. And I don't mean not educated. I had just graduated from the University of North Carolina with an English degree, and I could quote E.E. Cummings. I even knew what he meant. But in the ways of the world, I was ignorant. I was a brand new bride. I lived in Charlotte, North Carolina, and the most important thing on my mind was learning to cook. Betty Crocker was my new best friend. I had a perfect marriage. I worked days, my husband worked nights. We would pass each other in our cars and wave, except for one glorious day off every week. My husband, Chuck, was not naive. He was a reporter for the Charlotte Observer, and he had fought in Korea. He came home with a Purple Heart and a Bronze Star, but he never talked about it. Now, because we didn't see each other very often, he would sometimes call me and ask me to go on one of his assignments with him. I thought it was because he missed me. I think now that he was trying to help me grow up. One night, the phone rang. It was Chuck, and he said, "Jane, how would you like to go to a Ku Klux Klan meeting?" "Ooh," I said, "that sounds really interesting." "Now, Jane, wear something inconspicuous." And so I did. I wore what I'd worn for 4 years at Chapel Hill in North Carolina. I wore my gray flannel shorts, my knee socks, and my white Carolina blazer with the big UNC on the chest. I don't think it's what he had in mind. I went down and picked him up in our little MGTD, which was a low-to-the-ground convertible. The main feature of it was that it had very wide running boards, and you could step on them and throw your leg over and never have to open the door. We went into the wilds of Rowan County, North Carolina, in 1957 to the Klan meeting. It was only an hour and a half from Charlotte, but in many ways it was light years away. We went down a two-lane highway and then on a red dirt road and then finally through a farmer's tobacco field. And there in the distance, I could see the torches, and I could see the white robes, and I could see the burning cross. We pulled into the parking lot, and there in the front was a sheriff leaning against his car, picking his teeth. He spit when he saw us, but I felt safe. There was the police. Chuck backed into his parking space so that he was facing out. He left the keys in the car, and then he handed me a flashlight. And he said, "Jane, do you see that each car, the license plate, has a hood?" And it did. I think they used their leftover sheets. They had covered it up. He said, "You pick that up, shine the flashlight, and I'll write down the license plate numbers." Okay. We were about halfway through, maybe 40 cars or so that we had done, and suddenly it started getting lighter, and I smelled kerosene. I turned around, and there were about 30 Klansmen running toward us. One of them grabbed the piece of paper out of my husband's hand and said, "What the hell are you doing?" And he read the list of license plates. He held it up to a torch and burned it. "Who the hell are you?" he said. Well, Chuck knew to give his name, rank, and serial number. He said, "My name is Chuck Hauser. I'm a reporter for the Charlotte Observer." And then they turned to me. They looked like they were 7 feet tall with those pointy hoods. And the only opening on them were the two round holes where their eyes were. It looked like their eyes had burned through the sheet. And who might you be, Missy? I didn't answer. And it didn't matter because he told my husband exactly what he was going to do to him out in a field. And then they turned to me and told me what they would do to me in another field. I didn't know you could do those things. I'd never heard of some of those things. The sheriff ambled up, spit tobacco juice on our shoes, and said, "Y'all better get out of here." Chuck said, "Jane, you drive." We ran for the car, threw our legs over on the, put our feet on the running board, threw our legs over, and I scratched off as much as you can scratch off on grass. And then I understood why Chuck wanted me to drive. He'd brought along a big speed graphic camera from the newspaper, and he turned around, he rested it on that little convertible, and two hooded Klansmen ran after us. One of them lost his hood. And Chuck took his picture. I went through that tobacco field as fast as I could, threw down the dirt road and onto the highway. We got back to the Charlotte Observer, and I dropped Chuck off, and I went home to our little rental house, where for the first time, I didn't feel safe. I paced back and forth and waited for Chuck to call, and he did after about an hour and a half, and he said, "We identified this man. The picture came out, Jane, and somebody at the paper knew him. He's a stonecutter. He's got a monument business not far from the newspaper. And the interesting thing is, almost 90% of his clientele is black." He said, "I also got a phone call. It was from the unmasked Klansman." I said, "Oh, what did he say?" "He didn't threaten me," said Chuck. "He begged. He pleaded. He said, 'Don't run that picture of me. It'll ruin my business. I've got a family. I've got kids. Please don't run it.'" I said, "Oh, Chuck, what are you going to do?" And he said, "Don't worry about a thing. I'll be home soon." But I did worry. I worried about the man's business. I worried about his children. I worried about my husband. And I worried about me. About 2 o'clock that night, Chuck came home. He'd put the newspaper to bed. He left his shoes covered with printer's ink outside on the porch, as he always did, so he wouldn't track in. And he walked in his stocking feet, handed me the first edition of the Charlotte Observer Sunday paper, and he turned it over on the front page. He said, "It's on the front page, below the fold." And there was the story with his byline and a big picture of the unmasked Klansman with his name. I had been thinking maybe it was better for him not to even print it. But when I saw it, I realized I learned something very important that night, that when evil is unmasked, when it's brought into the open, it loses its power. It loses the fear factor. I learned something very important that night. And I also learned a lot about my new husband, with whom I would spend almost 50 years. I was no longer innocent. I was no longer naive. But I was a whole lot smarter. Thank you.